So we're talking today with Libby Davis, Member of Parliament from Vancouver East.
They say it's in Vancouver, they say it's easier to order hardline drugs on the phone than it is to order pizza. Mm. That's all being driven by prohibition, right? And by organized crime and by an illegal regime. I mean, and believe me, I'm actually very anti-drug use, personally. But I feel it's much better to have a regulated model that has superb education for young people that's realistic and honest, instead of this, you know, phony stuff that the police do, where they go into high schools and they show videos of the downtown east side and say, you want to be like this? You know, I mean, it's like, and the kids know it's not true, and then they get turned off, and then you've lost that connection, that dialogue, right?
So you've also dehumanized the people on the Vancouver east side.
Exactly. Mm. So it's all about, I mean, it's very much a class issue, by the way, because there's drug users at every level of society. There's lawyers, stockbrokers they're the ones who don't get caught, though, right? They can afford to have a good connection. They can afford not to be caught. It's only the people on the street who are so visible and poor who are the ones who get nailed with enforcement, right? So it's very much a class issue, too, in terms of how we see this drug issue. It's a very interesting subject, and I've learned that when you take it on, you basically kind of take on all of these forces. There are a couple of other groups. So we do have the National Harm Reduction Network, which is more focused on harm reduction, but they are kind of expanding their horizons. So there is a group that started in Canada called the Canadian Students for a Sensible Drug Policy, and there is kind of a network of groups in Canada, but we don't have the same kind of big organization. The Drug Policy Alliance is very, very interested in what's going on in Canada because, ironically, they see us as much more advanced. If you remember, we had a bill at one point to decriminalize marijuana under Chrétien, and it just got lost because of an election and it never came back. They got scared. But they see Canada as more advanced, so they're very interested in what goes on here. There's one other group that's also American, but it has Canadian component. It's called LEAP, which is an amazing group. It's LEAP, and it's Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And these are actually former police officers and judges and prosecutors who have come to the conclusion that prohibition itself is like insane. So they actually have a group in the States called LEAP, and they have some fairly major players, like the former police chief of Seattle is one of the leading members. There's a former police chief from Miami. We have a former judge from BC that's a member of it. Judge Paradis, he's in North Vancouver here. He's retired, but he's a member of LEAP. And so they've been very outspoken, which is really good because it kind of gives the credibility, like, wow, these are former police officers who are actually speaking out, former judges, right, or prosecutors, who are, you know, realizing that all of the work that they did in this judicial system that was so screwed up and, you know, has not brought us any further in terms of this issue.
Joining us on the telephone line right now is Tony Smith, who is a retired Vancouver police officer and a member of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Mr. Smith, how are you doing this morning, sir?
Very well, considering the hour on the West Coast.
I know it is unfortunate. It is it's before 4:30 a.m. over there. Thank you very much for your commitment to LEAP and for joining us here this morning. Before we start, why don't we educate listeners a little bit about the mandate of LEAP and about your association with the organization?
Yes, right. Well, I was a member of the Vancouver City Police for 28 years, and I retired about 8 years ago now. And we are a member organization. We have about 30,000 members today. As Libby was saying, we count amongst our membership judges, police chiefs. The organization is worldwide. And most of us are retired, but we do actually have one or two members who are still working actively as policemen. Now, what LEAP believes, we don't believe that any drugs are particularly good for anybody, but what we do believe from what we've seen is the war on drugs are that it is the war on drugs started by President Nixon which is causing most of the problems today. When I was a policeman, we weren't seeing many signs during those days of the drug war. I think maybe the Hells Angels had it all under control from themselves, so we weren't seeing the killings. But what every policeman saw was that at least 80% of all the break-ins, break-ins to houses, break-ins to cars, all of that sort of stuff was done by drug addicts. They were doing it so they could take the stuff into the pawn shop, get their 10 cents on the dollar, and get their next fix. And the question that we all asked ourselves was, wouldn't it be much less expensive to just provide these guys with their drug of choice and leave open the option that, you know, when they're ready to quit, to assist them with this? Anyway, 80%, and that's an absolute minimum, I think, of all of these break-ins, adds up to an enormous amount of money. And then, of course, in the last number of years, particularly back, in Quebec, and even more so today in the lower mainland of British Columbia, we've seen an order. We've seen an awful lot of shootings, of murderings, and of bystanders being killed as the drug gangs create a wave of property crime in order to support those addictions. And excuse me, I'm getting a little confused here. As the gangs themselves, in order to keep up their membership and to preserve their rights to deal in certain areas, they don't sign lease agreements. So what happens instead is we see these shootings periodically, and it's just simply it's due to the economic benefits of retailing to a larger area. In every other sort of business, the businesses sign agreements of cooperation with each other. In the drug trade, they simply don't. They kill in order to expand their empires. And, of course, the third and most damaging aspect of all of this involving the gangs is quite simply that we have given over control of all of these drugs to the gangs. We simply don't control them. We have no say what goes into them. We have no say what we're putting into our young kids when they take these drugs, when they go into a concert or whatever. And the drug dealers have made absolutely sure that there is a drug dealer inside or outside of every school. And the reason is we don't control this thing at all, and it would only be through legalization that we would be able to regulate these drugs in any way, as we have no regulation at whatsoever. Now, if I go back a little bit to my career, I joined the Vancouver Police Department in 1973, and in fact, the year before I joined, there was a parliamentary committee known as the Ledaine Committee, and this, again, was a committee which was conducted to look into the effects of drugs. And that committee concluded, this was a Canadian committee, that, in fact, due to the relatively benign effects of marijuana, the criminal sanctions should slowly be withdrawn. And, of course, that never happened. And we know, particularly with marijuana, that every major research policy, every government research policy, going all the way back to 1895, the British India Hemp Act, has concluded that marijuana itself doesn't have enough problems that it should be controlled by the Criminal Code of Canada.
Tony Smith, retired Vancouver police officer and a member of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, you outlined two potential reasons for legalizing drugs. You mentioned that by providing these addicts with their drug of choice, it would limit the petty crime that goes on by these addicts to feed their habits. As well, potentially legalizing drugs would regulate the contents of the drugs and would not leave it up to the drug dealers to put whatever addictive additives that they wanted into the drug itself. Let me propose to you another reason, and this reason may be the reason for legalizing drugs that might actually get governments on board. The economic reasoning would be if there was if drugs were legal, then governments would be able to tax them, and that would be large amounts of money for government coffers. What does Leap think about that?
Well, obviously, Leap supports this, and legalization of drugs would obviously result in somebody's going to have to provide them. And however that was done, whether it was done by private industry under strict control or by government itself, would result in an immense amount of revenue generated. This is the revenue that the drug gangs are after, and in fact, drug revenues today represent 7% of all the world's industry, and that is the equivalent of the entire textile industry of the world. Mm-hmm. What we have to remember with drugs is they didn't suddenly come around about 30 or 40 years ago. These drugs have been with us since the beginning of time, quite literally. We have records from Mesopotamia, written records going back to 3,000, 4,000 to 4,000 BC, where opium is mentioned. Obviously, marijuana goes back an equal period of time, as does the coca plant in South and Central America, from which cocaine is obtained. So we have this situation where we have a large amount of underground trade going on around the world, a vast amount. As I say, it was 7% of all the world's trade. We have drugs which have been with us since the beginning of time. We have attempted to control these drugs to some extent since about 1920, when the first acts were introduced. But in fact, if we compare our records today with those in 1920, we have exactly the same number of hardcore drug addicts on the streets as we had prior to any of these acts being brought into place. So, in fact, our entire last 90 years of activity to attempt to get rid of these drugs has been absolutely useless. And in fact, all that has happened each year, in point of fact, has been that the strengths of these drugs have gone up and prices have gone down. So if we were to look at this as a business, each year it would have achieved exactly the opposite of what its business plan was. And these businesses, therefore, would have gone bankrupt under normal circumstances.
We have Craig Sove with us, who is a member of the Friday Morning After Collective and is involved in the municipal political scene. Craig.
Yeah, just a question. I'm pretty much sold on the position of your group, and I think a lot of people around Canada are. What I'm wondering is, within law enforcement right now, and within government, people that you've spoken to, people that are, you know, involved in the justice system, what do you think the level of support is for your position?
The level of support for our position is extremely high. Most people in politics that I've spoken to actually agree with us entirely, but the barrier seems to be that they seem to want us to prove it to us before they'll take any political risk on our behalf.
In terms of political risks, I remember under Jean Chrétien's federal government, there was a proposition to legalize marijuana with a bill that was going to be voted on in the House of Parliament. But then there was an election. The politicians got scared. I don't know where that bill went. I don't know what happened. Is there going to be another call for a bill such as that one?
Well, I don't know if there's going to be another call for a similar bill. That kind of got dropped. But the situation in the United States today is moving so quickly. Let me give you one example. When Bill Clinton was questioned by reporters, he admitted using marijuana, but then he had to add that but he hadn't inhaled, of course. Now, when Barack Obama was questioned on this same subject, he replied that he smoked marijuana, and when the when the reporters went a little bit further, remembering Clinton's reply, he stated, yes, of course I inhaled. I thought that was the whole point. Now, he admits in his book, Things My Father Taught Me, he speaks of his marijuana and cocaine use from the time he was in high school to his last year in university. And so, bang, I mean, there goes all of our theory that that he couldn't possibly amount to anything because he'd done drugs. And I think the a similar situation was probably true with both Clinton and Bush, although they weren't so open about it. Barack Obama has told the federal government, told the federal drug agencies, primarily the DEA, not to interfere with state laws governing medical marijuana in the United States. Today, there are 500,000 medical users in California. There are, I believe, 14 other states, and they all have large numbers of medical users. Secondly, in California itself, there is a referendum being proposed for November in which they are considering legalizing marijuana altogether. So I think what is actually happening is with the change of administration down in the United States, they've moved far ahead of us, and our administration seems to be trying to take the route now, particularly with the Stephen Harper government, that that the United States has left under Bush.
Tony Smith, retired Vancouver police officer and representative of the organization called LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. I want to ask you one question, and this is going to be calling on your experience in the field as a Vancouver police officer, and hopefully we can put it all together. In Canada and the United States, the population comprises of 5% of the world's total population, and yet in Canada and the United States, they use 50% of the world's total drugs. Can you think of any reason for this?
Well, if we're talking about illegal drugs here, then
yes, I
suspect that it's just the attraction of them being illegal. And we've even got to put this in perspective, because the most dangerous drug out there is tobacco. Tobacco kills 50% of everybody who uses it eventually. And yet tobacco is a legal drug. And over the past 30 years, by education, we have reduced the tobacco usage to one-third of what it was prior. And, you know, as I say, this is a legal drug.
As is alcohol.
As is alcohol, and any policeman will tell you that the most dangerous drug out there by far is alcohol. Whenever we have any riots, whenever we have, most murders, the majority of murders are within the family and by people who are known to you. Most violent assaults, abuse to children, abusive home situations, all the chronic accidents we have, particularly late at night, all of these are connected entirely to alcohol. And any policeman will say there is a strange thing with that drug that turns normally reasonable people into wild animals very briefly. And, you just don't see this sort of thing with the other drugs. Basically, marijuana makes people extremely calm. Heroin tends to also make people calm. Basically, heroin users just want to, nod off. Cocaine is a little more up, but you just don't see the sort of behavior from any of these drugs that alcohol creates.
Before we have to go here today, I want to get your comment very briefly on the recent case of current Victoria Police Department officer David Brazier, who was denied the opportunity by the Victoria police officer to speak on behalf of LEAP. Do you have any comments on that situation?
Yes, David is one of our younger members. He's been with Victoria Police for only 4 years. He's become a very, very active member. and he's very carefully searched the whole situation himself from a lot of different sources, and he's come to the conclusion that, Leap best represents his point of view. He has, for the last year, been invited to speaking engagements, which he has undertaken on behalf of Leap. The surprising situation with this particular one was this was a harm reduction conference which was organized in Victoria, where David is a policeman, but he was invited by the city of Victoria when, for some reason, the chief constable of Victoria, Jamie Graham, didn't want David to go, which is kind of surprising, because I would have thought he would have been proud to have one of his members invited to input, at this level into real policy, which is, going to be formed in Victoria in the next year or so. So it's all a bit of an oddball situation, really, particularly when you consider that outside of Quebec, Victoria is probably the most liberal city in Canada. So I certainly think that the majority of the population are not going to be very happy to realize what's been going on with this officer's freedom of speech. David makes a point always that when he's speaking, to make it quite clear that he's speaking on behalf of himself, not the Victoria Police Department. So it's all a little unusual, if I could use that word.
Tony Smith, retired Vancouver police officer and representative of LEAP Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Maybe you can just tell our listeners where they can get some more information about LEAP, and we thank you very much for joining us this morning on the Friday Morning After.
Well, it's great to be here. Information is available on the website, www.leap.cc. There's a lot of information on that website, and if any of your members are interested, and I hope an awful lot of them are, then go to leap.cc and get all the background on the organization that you can. It's amazing what's going on in the world today with the level of enthusiasm that the drug laws are going to change significantly in the next period of time. I suspect that the first state to legalize drugs is going to reap vast rewards in the terms of a tax credit, taxes brought in. And I suspect that as soon as that happens, every other state and province is going to want the same thing.
Well said, Tony Smith. We thank you very much for joining us here this morning on the program.
Thank you very much. A great pleasure to be here. Bye-bye.